So we are now embarking on step number 6. So the question is this. Have you ever tried to pay for something that was free? Have you ever been like, I want to pay for that? Maybe it's a BOGO, right? Buy one, get one, and you're like, yeah, you know, but I don't want to take that free thing. I just want to pay for the free thing as well, right? I want to pay for the first one, and I want to pay for the second one. Have you ever said that? No. Why? It's free. That's right. Or think of this as like, say you're in prison, right? Anyone here been in prison? No, don't answer that. Next slide. And you're sitting in your cell, and they come, and they open it up, and they say, well, here's the thing. Your time is up, right? You're free. Or they say, wrongful conviction. Either way, you're free, right? And the door's open, and you say, do you know what? I don't want to go. I kind of like it here now. You know, nice toilets. The food's great. Comfy bed. I like all my compadres. It's like we're having a slumber party every night on the block. No one would say that. They're like, yes, thank you. Get me out of here. Out of here. So to recap what we've talked about so far, we've talked about how we need to admit that we need God, how we need to have humility to choose a different life found in Him. And we've talked about seeing ourselves as people who can't solve our own problems, but looking beyond ourselves to Christ, the one who can redeem us. And so now we're taking a step further into step 6, and we are going to live forgiven, okay? So we've talked about this idea of being forgiven. We've talked about repentance. But now, how do we live that out? So there's a story Jesus tells about two sons. And so this man, he has two sons, and the younger son comes to him, and he says, give me my inheritance. And so the father says, fine, I'll give you your inheritance. He takes it. He runs off. He does all the great stuff in life that rock stars do. Stuff in bathrooms and planes. I don't know. Crazy stuff, right? Like the words that they use in this parable that Jesus tells literally means he's gone wild. And he blows it all away, right? So he had all the people, all the parties, all the fun. But he blows it. And he's left destitute as a famine comes across the land. And he's left feeding pigs, longing to eat what the pigs are eating. And he says to himself, man, even the servants in my father's house have a better life than this. So he has this plan. I'm going to go back, say sorry to my father, and I'll be a hired apprentice. So he begins to head home. His father sees him in the distance. And he doesn't wait till he comes. He doesn't wait for him to fall and say, I'm sorry. The father runs to him. He embraces him, puts a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, robe, slaughters the fattened calf. If you're vegan, that doesn't sound good. But that was good then. All these things having to do with you are now a son. You are now an heir as well. And, you know, what the father doesn't see a wretch. He sees his child. He doesn't see the terrible things said and the terrible things done. What he sees is his child. This is the forgiveness that the Father gives. He sees you coming, and he meets you there and says, I'm glad you're home. Next slide. You know, this is not a one-time event, though. And we think of it like, okay, I came, I said, you know, I'm sorry. And so then I just kind of go on with my life. So we talked about that repentance, the idea of turning. The whole point of the word repent, which means to turn, is that you are going in a different direction, continually. It's not about, well, okay, sorry, God, and then you just keep doing what you're doing. This son now had to change what he was doing. And we talked about how we can think of this as external actions, but we need to think about this as internal, the way we think. You see, what this younger son needed to do was to now live forgiven, okay? Live forgiven. Live in a way that his past is not holding him and keeping him bound. Not returning to his old life, but also, right, what did he think he was doing? He thought he was going to return and work as a servant to his father. But that's not what he was to do either. That's not freedom. He was to come and live as a son. And that's what it means to live forgiven. To break apart from your past, to set a new course, but then to live free. And so there's another part of this story, and this part we are going to read, and it's about the older son. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So, let's stick with our BOGO analogy for a moment, okay? Here, the older son wants to pay for his free pair of shoes. He wants to pay for it. Everything the father has is his. If he wants a fattened calf, go for it. Take it. That's what the father says. He says, all this was at your disposal. All you had to do was ask. But here the son is choosing to live under bondage, slaving and working, trying to earn something that he already has. He could have asked for anything he wanted, but he chose to live like a slave. But he wasn't actually a slave. He was a son. There is nothing about his circumstances that says that he's a slave. He's choosing to live like that in his mind. And we do the same thing. We choose to live as slaves to things. We choose to live as slaves. So here the younger son was stuck as a slave to his selfish desires. He wanted to do things that totally put his life in the ditch. And then he was a slave to his ideas of how his father worked and loved. But now this older son also is a slave. Though he hasn't done what the younger son has done, he's still just as much a slave. And we can do this, especially in like church circles. We can do this with steps and disciplines. So we're working through 9 steps. We can do this with our steps. We can become a slave to them. And we end up circling back and just going, oh yes, well, I'm powerless and working through these ones. And never getting past all those ones of weakness, moving into who we are, living as forgiven people. We just keep saying, oh, we are failures. Oh, well, we need something else. But Jesus has come and said, I am the something else. You have me. Now it's time to live in that forgiveness. You have to live in the forgiveness. We can end up asking forgiveness for the same thing over and over, like a one-time thing that happened once. So I'm not talking about the habitual actions in our life. But maybe there was like one big event and you're like, man, I really screwed that up. And we keep circling back on it. thinking that, oh, well, maybe I didn't ask well enough. Why is it still with me? It's us who haven't moved on. God has moved on, and we now have to live in that freedom. So often we don't take that next step. We just circle around, right? We go back here, and we go, okay, Les, I need God. I'm powerless. You know, he can restore me. I'm repenting. I'm going to have humility. Okay, right? And we never get to that point where we're actually living in the joy and the freedom that Christ comes to give us. We end up like that older son, circling the steps, slaving for God, trying to earn our place back. We just end up going in circles instead of living in freedom. We get stuck in the steps and the rules of our life. And what do? We become a slave to rules. But we need to change our thinking. So I may fail, but I am never a failure until I quit. So you may have things in your past that you've done. You may have times that you have failed. But we're only failures if we circle back and we remain there. If we don't quit, if we keep going, we say, I'm going to walk in the freedom Christ has for me. Yes, we have failed, but we are not failures. We can move forward. You know, we all have mistakes. All have mistakes. But Jesus has come to show us how to live, and he gave his life for us. Why? Not so that we can repent. Did you know that? Jesus did not come so you can repent. Jesus did not come so you can feel bad. Jesus came so that you can live as a son and daughter of God. You are not wretches, right? Despite what some of those old hymns say, like Wormwood and like Jehovah's Dreaded Frown. No, it says that you are now, because of Christ, co-heirs. We are co-heirs with Christ. But so often we become slaves, like the older son, to doing the right thing. And so we modify our actions to do the right thing. Okay, I got to do the right thing. And we change our actions instead of changing our mind. And that's what changes your life. It's about changing our minds. It's about doing the things of Christ. We talked about that last week specifically. We don't earn love and acceptance from God. It is a free gift. He loves us. My kids, your kids, well, maybe some of your kids, right? They don't earn your love, right? They come out of you, or they come onto someone else, right? They appear in the room, and you just love them, right? They're there. You love them. They don't have to earn it. Now, sometimes they really test that. Like a lot. But you love them anyway. And even more so with God. We don't earn it. He loves us despite. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. What I am not saying is that we do not need steps. We need guides in our life to help us so we do not go out of bounds. Right? Imagine if the younger son had disciplines in his life. Say he followed these steps and was now living in freedom, right? He's on step 6. Maybe he hasn't even gotten to step, what's after 6? 7, 8, or 9. I think 7's the meanest one. Because why would 7, 8, 9? Like, that's so wrong. 7, 8, 9. Right? Would his life still end up in a ditch? He's following the steps. These things can stop us from making bad decisions. The point is, we do not want to become a slave to the steps. The steps allow us to not be slaves, right? So it's not about being a slave to the steps. It's about using the steps so we do not become slaves. And that is a very important distinction. The steps are not your savior. They cannot save you. There is no steps in this world that can save you, but they can help. What we need is, we need an all-sufficient Savior who deals with the mess in our lives and changes our hearts. That's what we need. Did you know that, don't quote me on this, but that I've heard it from reliable sources, that you can see a distinct line carved in the AA program before, when they had God as the key component, versus after. We need Jesus in our life. We need Jesus. This life is more than rules. What Jesus is more than rules that you follow. It is about grace from God so that we can live as free people. Because we are a new creation in Christ. Following rules does not mean you're a new creation. The older son, though he did not have the issues of the younger son, he was just as lost as his younger brother. Neither of them knew the father's love. He was just as much a slave. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. So if we are in Christ, we are now a new creation. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it. I don't know if you ever had those moments where you're like, I do not feel like a new creation. And sometimes it's not just your physical body, right? So, the physical body, definitely not. You're not waking up in your morning anytime past 29, seriously, and say, do you want my body feels like a new creation? You're like, there's always something hurting. And the older you get, you're adding to that somethings, right? It's like two things, three things. Catherine, this is what you got to look forward to. It's getting downhill. Seriously, it's going to. But ever have that in your spirit? Like sometimes your spirit's like, man, I just do not feel like a new creation. But this is where it's mind over mind, right? It's Christ over mind. We speak his truth over us. No, I'm not my old self. I am a new creation in Christ. Christ has said I am a son and daughter. Christ has said I am a co-heir. I will choose today to walk in the freedom that he has given me on the cross. I'm not a slave to my past. I'm not a slave to failings. I'm not a slave to my vices. I will walk in freedom. I'm not a slave to other people. I will walk in freedom. All our thoughts, all our deeds need to be found in the freedom of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, he begins that by saying, for through steps and disciplines I died, right? So he uses the steps and the disciplines to die to needing steps and disciplines to find new life that is in Christ. The ends is not to get caught in this cycle of rules. I don't know if anyone grew up in the church that came out of a holiness type thing, right? You can't go sit by the bank with the teenagers because then you're going to go to hell, right? You can't have long hair, then you're going to go to hell. Can't play that electric twanger, then you're going to go to hell. Can't go to the movies because the ceilings are made of the lead. And so if the rapture happens, you're just going to hit the ceiling over and over again. We have these rules that might be good for some person, Maybe someone needs that rule, right? Maybe they can't do that. I don't know why they couldn't grow their hair long, but whatever. Right? They have this rule for a certain reason, but then the rule becomes the rule for everyone. And when no one knows why they have the rule, this is just the rule we do. There's a book when I was in Bible college, just we like to keep it around in the library because it was funny, called The Sin of the Downbeat. And it was why the downbeat shouldn't be on 2 and 3 because that was a sinful beat. That is ridiculous, right? That's not why Jesus came, so that Jesus came so you could have life and life more abundantly. Processes help. Processes help us. When life is unraveling, we need structures in life to help keep our head on straight so we can move past them into Christ. Right? Sometimes we cannot get a hold of anything. Life is just swirling around. Can't even grab onto God in those moments, it seems. And it's these steps and disciplines in our life that keep us in there. Keeps us living in the forgiveness. You know, living in forgiveness means faith that Christ has come to bear the eternal consequences. Faith that Jesus has come and he has taken upon himself all our mistakes. He's taken upon himself all our misdeeds. He's taken upon himself anything in eternity that might come against us. And he said, I'm going to deal with it. And because of that, we can now live in the Father's love. A Father's love that the older son that we talked about in the story hadn't even realized he had. You know, there's a distinction. This older son is putting the cart before the horse, right? That doesn't work. He's working to earn the love instead of having a love for God that compels him to do work for his Father. And this is an important distinction. Why do I serve others? It's not to earn God's love. It's because God's love has been poured out on me, and so I do it out of love for him. I love those who God loves. And so in our context of this idea of steps, we don't follow the steps to earn God's love. We don't follow the steps. We don't do the rules. We don't follow the disciplines that keep us strong to earn God's love. We don't do it to earn his acceptance. We are accepted in love. But we follow these steps so that they help us remain in God's love. So, if you think about this, this isn't God will evict you if you break a rule or a step, right? It's not like, okay, you broke something, you're out. But it's these things that help us not become like the younger brother. Not to divert our eyes off the prize, to focus on the thing that really gives us life. Because there's lots of things in life that are distracting. And there's lots of things in life that are good. And some of those good things and some of those distractions are the same thing. Something could be good, but it could take your eye off the prize of what you're supposed to do, what you feel you need to do, where God is calling you. Having these steps and rules in our life help us and keep us from putting our hope in things that are fleeting, things that we think will give us happiness, but in the end are just empty. And so we must return to it again and again and again. We are consuming more and more and more, hoping that somehow the emptiness will drain from us, but continues to remain. So the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul writes this. And now it's a bit of a riddle. It's not really a riddle, but I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I agree with that law, if I agree that the law is good as it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. All right, could you follow that? There's lots of I do not do, lots of double negatives kind of in there. The whole point is what he's saying is, there's things I do not want to do. But because I'm a slave to my flesh, I end up doing them. And I don't want to do them. I end up regretting it. And he's like, if I make my life all about the rules, I'm going to end up breaking them. But the rules help me do things I do not want to do. But we must understand that we're not serving the rules. The rules are just helping us do what we do not want to do so that we can do what we want to do. Is that a little clearer? Right? And he's saying that if I end up doing that, I am to remember that is not who I am. That's my flesh drawing me away. But that does not define me. That is not who I am. That's not where I'm going to live. I repent. I turn from that and say, I am a child of God. And I walk in where I want to be. I live in the freedom. I don't condemn myself, beat myself up. Oh, I got to return to step one. And there are times we do, right? Sometimes we get to walk through. But that's not where we stay. We live in the freedom that Christ has come to restore us to. These are steps to help rid ourselves of sin so that we don't do the things we do not want to do. Right? So let's say, I'll give an example. This is not a real life example, but I'm just trying to think. Right? So Jesus calls us to tell people about his love. As a man, well, do what I should do. I should go tell the people at the local strip club, right? I'll just go in, I'll hang out. Is that a smart step to take for me? Probably not, because I'm putting myself in a place where I could do something I do not want to do, right? It could put my whole life in the ditch. So what do? I have rules for myself. I do not do that thing. So I do not go there. If someone else wants to do it, let's support them in doing it. But for me, I should not do it because then in the book of Jude, I end up disqualifying myself for the prize of the race because I step out of bounds. Right? We break the rules of our lives. So I implement disciplines in my life so I do not do things that take me off track. And I'm not a slave to those rules. But it's also not putting myself in where I end up becoming a slave to something else. The rules help me not be a slave, not me being a slave. It's kind of like how Jesus talked about the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath, man was not created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. Rest was created for us, not us for rest. And we make our lives about the rules. And it's not that the rules are bad. It's just the rules are there to help us, not us to serve them. We have to remember, rules, steps, discipline are not our Lord. Not our Savior, not our God. Our hope is Jesus, who though we were against him, he was for us. That's who our Lord is. That's who our God is. You were not made to be slave. You were made to be free. So in the words of Bruce Springsteen, baby, we were born to run. All right, so what's the point? One, your past is past, okay? Your past is past. Can't change it. Can't do anything about it. It's happened. It's done. It's over with. Give it to God. Repent. Now live in the freedom. Yes, there may be earthly consequences, but you deal with consequences. You live in the freedom. Two, you're not a slave. You're not a slave to anyone. You're not even a slave to God. You are a child of God, a co-heir with Christ. So here's the thing. If there's something in your life that you don't want, do you want to know something? Do you want to know what's great about? You're not a slave. You can change anything you want. And we live in a great country for that. Even if you want to change your job, you sign up for a program, right? What is it in your life you don't like? You can change it. And it may be hard, and it may take work, but you are not a slave to anything. You're free. And three, we need to then live in the faith of God's deliverance through Jesus. Why are we free? Why can we live as free? Because Jesus came and gave his life so that we could have life. He took it on himself so you can be free and you can turn and do something different. But we must remain in the faith. And as long as we have faith that what Jesus has done for us is true, we can take another step in freedom, and another step in freedom, and another step in freedom, and another step. And next thing you know, we're like that Bruce Springsteen song, right? We were born to run, and we end up running. So next week, we are continuing with step number 7, and it is now showing grace, okay? So we've talked all about what we need to do. God, yes, help us, help us. We are now living in the freedom. Now we're going to talk about what living in freedom really means about showing grace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have called us your children. You've called us your children. And we are now co-heirs with you, Jesus. Thank you for taking our misdeeds upon yourself. Thank you for taking the evil that is in us, the selfishness that drives our life. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to incorporate disciplines in our life, godly disciplines. We all need them. And I pray that we would not become a slave to them, but we'd see them as they are tools to point us to you, the true God who loves us and cares for us and wants our life to be full. Help us, Lord. Help us to serve you and love you and live in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.